so I will do this if I have a chance, and call you. Of course I would like to bring a piece of the malachite stone to your friend FL, but this should not become a habit, as I have agreed in general, bringing stones and crystals, when they are destined for your collection's purpose or for the selling of them. But for your three closest friends I will make an exception. However, they will have to be patient, because it will be some weeks before I can provide such things again. In respect to your lectures concerning our mission, about needing more photos, we have conciliated. So I can tell you the decision, that we agree to your making still some dozens of diaphotos of my ship, this contrary to my former decision. We come to that from the opinion, that a certain number of pictures of this kind are useful for the matter and are worth it. Nevertheless, we want to limit the pictures to an amount of 100, which surely will be enough. Editor's comment: there is no little confusion over the pictures taken at Ravensbuehl at 10 o'clock in the morning on 20 April when Mia snapped a number of pictures of several group members standing upon a rise and looking out over the valley. A little after 14:30 that same afternoon he snapped color photographs of a flight demonstration of the spacecraft in the same general vicinity. When he got the slides back from developing, he was surprised to discover many frames with an image of the spacecraft above the heads of the group of friends. At that point he was sure that the Pleiades had actually been in those pictures but invisible to him and the group. In small slide form they looked pretty much like Mia might be right. The first direct printing from slides to prints was on the lighter side and they still looked pretty much the same. In a later denser printing it became possible to see two separate horizon lines. When these prints were introduced into a good computer it was possible to separate the images into their two separate pictures. We can only conclude that Mia is mistaken here and had lost count on the film frames he had exposed at 10 o'clock and confused some frames with those exposed at 14:40 in the afternoon without witnesses. It is entirely possible that Semjays destroyed some of the film with the error pictures, as she said, because at that time Mr. Mia did not have the best of control over his photos and films. He may have had a partial roll of pictures of the people from the morning photos in his camera at the end of the morning picture taking session and rolled it back into the film cartridge when he removed the film from his camera. Putting it with his unused film to be finished later, he may have, in the excitement of his hurried snapshots of the flight demonstration that afternoon, unknowingly loaded it into the camera and started again with frame number 1. Forgetting that he had some pictures already on the beginning of the film, or even possibly thinking he had a fresh roll with no used frames, and simply shot the whole roll over again, or he may have knowingly loaded it again with the intention of advancing the film past the earlier exposures, with the people, to new frames, and then just forgot to do so, either of which would have double exposed that first frame and all subsequent pictures up to the first unexposed frame. After which the UFO pictures would have continued without the people below it. This is just about what I saw when I looked at this series before some losses there. In this case, the double exposures would have to be the first frames on the roll, and all with the lower edge numbers. Unfortunately, nearly all of the original diapositives have been lost, and we have been unable to locate those originals for possible verification. Of course, we are only guessing here, because we simply do not know, and Mr. Mia is no longer certain, but does not accept our double exposure argument, preferring his own understanding. Continuing now the talk between Semjays and Mia, Mia, I am delightfully surprised. Semjays, thanks very much. Semjays, your thanks are not necessary. Nevertheless, I am delighted. But now still one question. Does there exist the possibility? Semjays, regretfully, I must interrupt you. As I have said, my time is very limited today. Mia, I only have a very short question. Semjays, if so, please ask. Mia, is there the possibility that you could bring from your home planet, or from any other worlds, some pictures any time, or that I can give you my camera, by which then you get pictures? Semjays, this I have to deny, unfortunately, because such would go too far. Besides the crystals and stones, we have to limit ourselves to the things of the earth. Thank you, Semjays, this suffices for me. But I have just now remembered, having been on the 21st of April, The day after our last meeting, again at Ravensbuehl, having observed militaries there searching the whole environment, have you noticed anything of this matter? Samjays, this is a further question, but I know nothing of that event. It might well be possible, someone having observed the departure of my ship and having announced this to the authorities or to the army, which now and then happens, unfortunately, after which a search is performed. This happens when we are not careful enough or when less careful strange ships appear and even land. As you know, we do take precautions in every respect to prevent such occurrences. Though all caution is not enough, because often there are observing eyes where we do not assume them to be, even at so late a time of the night. This may unfortunately then lead to unpleasant incidents, especially when we fly several times to the concerned place or have to touch down there. Especially authorities and the army feel themselves menaced in their power, when they are informed of sightings and landings of beam ships, which are beyond their ability to control, although we are not interested in upsetting or menacing their primitive force, as this mission is obligated alone to Earth human beings. Though they are very much interested in our ships, and carry out research and examinations, the authorities and the army deny these facts very strongly. All information in this respect, concerning spaceships, sightings, touchdowns, etc., are much denied by them, as well as their highly secret researches and examinations of beamship landing places, etc. So do not worry about the military you have met at Ravensbuehl, because their investigations are secret anyway, and they hide themselves behind untruths about what they do. They will contest in every respect your observations, even if you demonstrated with photographs, which matter could be dangerous for you, as you know already from your own experience. So do not worry about the machinations of the army, as this could otherwise become dangerous for our matter. The 14th contact at 1400 hours on the 29th of April 1975, was called Bamiya, where the crystals were discussed, and a criticism of some archaic laws still on the books took place, with an observation that most man-made laws were outside of human dignity and beyond reason. The discussion then turned to group members until Samjays interrupted with a warning that a vehicle was approaching, a tractor, and that she must leave immediately to avoid arousing suspicion. She departed immediately. The 15th contact only 2 days later, on 1 May of 1975, at 1557, was urgently called by Samjays, and the opening conversation was as follows: Samjays, I have called you so urgently, because I have to talk to you about very important things. So listen very carefully so that no misunderstanding should arise. Mia, just speak, Samjays. As usual, I am all ears while you talk. I can at least catch my breath, for you have hunted me through very much landscape, uphill, downhill, through thorns and water puddles, I had to run. Why haven't you called me to the Canton Wallace? A very distant county. Samjays, laughing, I well could have commanded you still farther away, but didn't think it necessary. It was important to order you here, because we are fully undisturbed, while in the surroundings closer to your home today, many humans are taking excursions. Samjays explained some events observed and sought to redress some misjudgment on her part. Samjays, I have to confess to having made some mistakes, which have brought me to wrong conclusions. Yet I don't want to exclude that you can came in the same way to wrong decisions, as I. At all ends we are human beings, even when come from different stars and spiritual positions, being fundamentally like-minded creatures who have to go the way of their own evolution. This then does not exclude my making mistakes, which I ask your friends and acquaintances to understand. We really are not creatures of perfection as some would like to label us. If such things happen under me, then I do call them, because it would make no sense for me to hide or contest them. Such would only work to me own disadvantage. Now I want to explain about the help which I promised to your group, in which I will have to ask you to evaluate such assistance as well as other. No persons not being group members should be initiated into these things. To all of those, I suggest you keep silence about some things. So I want to direct, in your interest, that you hand over to certain persons, contact reports and photos, but no photo negatives, films or diapositives. You also should hand over crystals and minerals only to members of the group, or to other secure persons, but never to strangers to your group. You may perform film and slide lectures, but be careful of the lecture materials. There exist those who would like to seize possession of the material at your disposal, and who even do not neglect intrigues for this purpose. In this be very cautious, for we cannot interfere if you should cause difficulties for yourself. After a short discussion of image projections and related phenomena, and a description of an experiment she offered to demonstrate at another time, she brought this meeting to a close. Samjays, but now again the time has come that we have to say goodbye. But I myself will call you again after a short while, because there are other matters to be cleared. Mia, but call me then to China, or Kyuyu, as those places are nearer than this place. Samjays, may it also be the South, or North Pole? Mia, as you desire, Samjays, only though it is a bit cold, which I don't like much. The 16th contact came only 2 more days later in the form of a thought transmission, in which the ET visitor confessed some inattention on their and Mia's part during a recent photo demonstration, when she was concentrating on positioning the ship, and he was overly concerned with the operation of the camera, thus escaping the detection of both, some people who observed the demonstration and the filming, and became astonished by the performance. Some of these followed Mia, still being unnoticed by him, and made inquiries about him. 3 of these undertook steps to expose Mia's activities in certain places, one of these being the place where the spacecraft circled a weatherpane for comparison purposes during the filming. They had decided to eliminate that tree, which was one of the reasons for this contact, and the ET warned that they must be more careful in the future in such matters, one of the reasons for picking the remote contact sites. She cautioned that the landing places must remain secret, which must also be understood by the group around Mia. The 17th contact was another face-to-face meeting at 2:48 a.m. on 9 May 1975. Mia waited a long time at the appointed contact point, and was about to give up. Mia, you let me wait a very long time here for this contact. Samjays, this has came about because of our inattentiveness, and because of your film and photographic labors. Different problems have arisen. We had to regulate and neutralize them first. To prevent further such events, we have settled an order, that for the next while you ought not to make any more photographs or films. On the other hand, the material you have is sufficient for you. Mia, I regret that, but you seem to be dramatizing the matter, which is a strange view of you for me. Samjays, the whole matter is much more earnest than you sown to assume. Not without purpose I had to eliminate forms of life. Such concerns, under the laws of our race, admit such eliminations only in case of emergency. And in that case, such emergency was ahead, though it may not appear that way to you. But this you will understand, if you know now, that the military you watched was indeed active there on the 21st of April because of my beam ship. This we have verified besides other concerns. Your fears and assumptions were correct. But still many other things have occurred in this respect, thus we had to spend much time these last few days removing these difficulties. We needed to find out all those humans from out of the crowds, who had reached dangerous cognitions of our activities. In all of these we were forced to eliminate their memories in this respect to avoid harm of any kind. Me know, that the confusions and troubles have been serious, and I dramatize them in no way. Me also understand that, for some while I cannot allow any more photographs, films, etc., and this by longer sight. Instead, I will allow you to capture other things onto your films. But there is still some time and you have to be patient. Samjays then answered a number of Mia's questions to a point where Mia felt he had to bring the meeting to a close and get home. An interesting sidelight on that is offered in the closing exchange of dialogue. Mia, I understand completely, and I am well satisfied with what you gave. But for today this may be sufficient, because I have to go home again into my bed. Samjays, I regret having to tear you out of your sleep, and you must be still tired because of it. Mia, Of course I am, and besides I am freezing, as in spite of the warm days, the nights are still cold. But the real cause is my wife, as I left without waking and informing her. If she suddenly wakes and I am not there, then she will be afraid. Thus I have to go home again and lay in the bed like nothing has happened. The 18th contact on the 15th of May 1975, beginning right at 21:34 in the evening, offered a most profound discussion of the nature of spirit, and underscored the need for Mia's mission now. It is considered so important that the whole opening discourse is reported here. Sam J's, before today we were discussing other things, but today I want to continue with the discussion of spirit. A person may react to the word or the designation creation in different ways, as though it were something apart, and beautiful or good. Such is not exactly the case. Such characterizations as omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing are valid characterizations of the very nature of the creation. Millions of religious humans do not understand the true nature of the creation. Wherever they speak of it, they tend to personify it as a God being, which is then itself a separation from the creation, and they confuse the idea of the creation. So it is very important to know as much as possible about the character and the nature of the creation, for when the word is understood properly, it buoys the inner mind and connects it to its source as soon as the word is heard. In another context, the creation was described as the sum of all that is manifest and unmanifest, the matter realm being only a very small part, and that all that is the creation experiencing its polarization, which produces the created and its experience, all of which continuously adds to the total experience of the creation for further application in that which is created. In other words, IT is in us and works through us and we are IT. There is no separate personification indicated except as some part chooses to represent itself as such, which any part can do within its own level of concept. The experience reveals the creation as unlimited beauty, harmony, wisdom, knowledge, and truth enduring endlessly. Whenever a human perceives a thing of beauty, a flower, an animal, clouds, water, landscape, music, color, etc., he considers it in connection with the limitless grandeur of the creation itself. When a human recognizes and realizes this, then he knows that this recognition springs from limitless cognition, which itself is the creation. Wherever life moves, even inside the tiniest creatures, like a microbe, he sees the limitless creation. The creation is inside of every human being, and every other creature and thing, being a fraction of that manifestation itself. Once this thought has penetrated deeply inside a person and he can experience it, he loses all fear and doubt. When he knows his contact with the all-knowing, almighty creation, he enjoys peace and tranquility. Reflection on this gives the name creation great meaning. The more one meditates in this reality, the more his intelligence is illuminated, and the more powerful his personality becomes, and his whole life and labor is blessed. The creation rises in his consciousness and he senses peace, strength, knowledge, wisdom, delight and hope. He can overcome obstacles, and achieve his objectives, and suddenly has no more need for purely material things. One must learn a spiritual intellectual manner of thinking, and recognize its validity until the first successes are achieved. But the way does not stop here, because further exploration, research and development, and further recognition leads to the limitless endurance of time. Everything may happen in the course of time to prevent one from achieving his objectives, but the spiritualized person knows no limits and does not allow himself to be stopped short of his goals by any events of the future. For him the future always exists in the present, wherefrom he becomes determined to do everything here and now to obtain the highest spiritual state of consciousness, and he does not fear the future, for the future is now just as present as the present itself. When the spiritualized being sees others before him, he sees the creational in them. The conversation continues, "Mia, what you are saying sounds so understandable and logical. If only humans could comprehend it." Sam J's, "So they will. But this will not happen tomorrow. You and your group are only laying the basic stones for an avalanche which will start much later. More discussion of the nature of spirit, and even of prayer took place, and then the dialogue took a new and unusual tack. Samjays, but now I have a question for you. You explained that you would develop our matter, about which I still have seen nothing. Have you failed in this respect? Mir, I don't want to call it exactly that, to have failed, as in our last discussion too many things came up, and I still could not speak thoroughly about the matter, but by the end of this month everything should be in right position. In this respect I already improved the pre-work, which I still have to transmit to the others. Samjays, then I am calmed, for I wanted to know this matter being regulated before I leave for some time, and will be in contact with you by thought transmission only. Mia, you mentioned this before. What are you doing that is so important? Samjays, this is destined for your ears only. Mia, that is very interesting, and now I understand your secrecy. The reference was to some activities being carried out by some other extraterrestrial beings from a planet in a constellation our astronomers call Reticulum. Samjays, it is well that way, because there is much connected with it. But now I have a proposal for your group, before I do go away for a longer time, to turn their attention once more to my ship. At a given time, which for certain reasons I do not want to announce in advance, I will again give your group the chance to see my beam ship. Regarding this, I have again chosen a time of night, because, in the darkness, everything can be better observed. I will demonstrate for them the possibilities of the different energies, which in the darkness can be well seen for their light effects. Some kinds of energy I can only use high in the atmosphere, to avoid deadly effects on Earth forms of life. Nevertheless, this will be an unforgettable show for your group members observing the demonstration, as well as for any other casual observers, because I will exercise no protective means against sight. You are requested to take necessary action to observe protection needed, as well as to be sure that no others besides yourself came closer to my ship than 910 meters, because they could be harmed. You, I will protect and screen in this respect so that you suffer no harm. At this action, it would be of much meaning and worth for yourself and your group, and for our whole mission too, if you would take with you some uninitiated observers who work with publication organs and in offices having decisive influences. But take care that these persons be suited for our matter, and not be detractors seeking to disrupt. In consequence, be very careful. Select those persons carefully. But don't initiate them by any means into how and why of the undertaking, but only explain it as dealing with an interesting matter which they will witness. Arrange for these persons according to written clarification, because this will be of importance later. Mia, you suddenly go very far, Samjays, as I consider that hitherto you were very eager to protect yourself and your ship at every circumstance. Samjays, it will be an unique one-time demonstration which I will not repeat again. But this demonstration has become necessary to underpin your whole coming work for your group. We don't want to give your group only reports and objectives, but as well to help them to be of service to you when such is demanded, suitable, and necessary in our view. Mia, that's but really, nevertheless, very much, in fact more than I ever expected. Samjays, I know, but now to other matters, being destined for you and me alone. Much of this restricted information was never intended for other than Mia, and was only imparted to him for his own better understanding of the mission. Those parts of these messages may never be released. This contact initiated another spectacular first in the annals of the contemporary UFO phenomenon. These extraterrestrials had this time not only announced their appearance in advance, but they now invited the observers to bring outside witnesses, and even information media people, to witness a demonstration to be put on by the UFO nauts. Others of Mia's group of friends witnessed such demonstrations also earlier and later, such as Herr Jacobus Bertschinger with Mia on the 14th of March 1976, Hans Schutzbach on the 23rd of April 1976, and Wolfgang Witzer on the 6th of June 1976, all reported in the preliminary investigation report on this case. On Saturday, the 12th of June 1976, another whole group, again including some outsiders, with four 35mm still cameras and one 8mm movie camera, observed and photographed, together and simultaneously, from different vantage points, an even more astounding flight demonstration put on by the extraterrestrials. This is reported also, with samples of the photographs, in the reference indicated. This has never been heard of before, or since, and the flight demonstrations were such, at all altitudes and all parts of the sky, that pyrotechnics was completely out of the question. There was no way one man, or even a team of men, without real spacecraft, could have staged the displays witnessed. It was during an earlier demonstration for Mir and his group, on 3 April 1976, that they were pursued by unwelcome observers with direction-finding equipment on top of their cars. They had located Mir in the woods, evidently through an informer or by bugging his bike, and were closing in on him when Sam Jays warned of their approach and where they were. Mir was forced to take a different route out of the forest and crashed into a ditch on his moped, fracturing a rib and dislocating his shoulder in addition to abrasions and mud all over him. Sam Jays, before departing from the scene of the demonstration, which included five ships that night, arrived with a small apparatus that she applied to Mir's rib area. When she did this, he felt an electrical sensation and the rib was healed. She said, because she had not brought the right instrument, she could not do much for his shoulder or his twisted foot. After that treatment, and some distraction of the pursuers by the extraterrestrials' trials, Mir made his way out of the forest by another route and arrived home alone, muddy, wet, and bruised, but not seriously injured. The 19th contact at 14:09 on the 16th of May 1975 was a thought transmission in which Sam Jays gave Mir a rundown on FO who was trying to contact him. He then decided not to be available. Diaresis, the 20th contact, was called by Mir to get some answers for himself. It took place on the 20th of May 1975. Mir, I tried different ways in the last few days to make contact with you, but failed completely. I have some important personal concerns which I wanted to discuss with you. Sam Jays, I have recognized your attempts, but for stern reasons I did not arrange myself for them. You have first to came to certain understandings yourself. Mir, exactly about that do I want to talk to you. First, I had a strange experience after our last contact, just a few hours later. Besides my closest friend, I have mentioned this to nobody, because I first want to be clear about this, and because of this I want to ask you whether you have intrigued anything in respect to my strange experience. I do not know what I should think of it. Sam Jays, you are very cautious, and scarcely express yourself. So you evidently want to know what child of truth I am? Mir, you are wise. Sam Jays, also you honor me. It may indeed be traced back to me, if this answer suffices. Mir, it suffices as far as my assumption, but I want you to let the cat out of the bag. Sam Jays, you likely mean that I should give you more information. This you shall get. Our High Council has considered you mature enough for contact with a higher form of spirit which has passed beyond the rebirth and reincarnation cycles. Because of this, we have informed the creature of that spiritual dimension and sphere, who has steered communication with you. Thus try for high concentration and a faculty of acceptance, to fulfill the task. It will be difficult and time-consuming. Mir, you have fun with me. Because from where shall I take all this time to dedicate myself to still more such kinds of things? I do also have to care for the livelihood of my family. How shall I do this then? Sam Jays, this problem is known to me, and also I know that your added work will consume much time, many months and years even. Mir, but I won't be able to survive that long. How else shall I live and still be able to take care of my family? Sam Jays, the time will be difficult for you and your family, but it will be worthwhile time. You want to bring your fellow creatures help and show them the truth, in consequence of which you also take need and misery a short time upon yourself. No goals are achieved without troubles and sacrifices. Remember the real prophets of the past and what they accepted. They as well were not spared. Mir, you have me under delusion. Me, your confounded logic. On the other hand, you evidently imagine that all is very easy for me. But I am not living in any heaven, just simply on the earth. Sam Jays, it will not be as hard as that, so don't get excited.